For years, federal employees have used credit cards for agency-approved purchases. The current General Services Administration Smart Pay 2 master contracts don't expire until 2018. But the agency is wondering if there might be better ways to pay for things by employees. With more on alternatives GSA is looking for, we turn to David Shea. He's director of the Office of Charge Card Management at the Federal Acquisition Service. David, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right. So right now, yeah, I guess you have some short-term plans for Smart Pay 2, and you've got some long-term things you're looking at for when these all expire. Is that a good way to put it?
Yes. Well, we're right now, as I believe you're aware, we're doing a transition pursuant to the president's recent executive order for improving the security of consumer financial transactions. We're moving into the chip and PIN card world for our purchase and travel cards. And this year, we expect to get more than a million of those cards issued as we convert the program over to that technology. In addition, in the longer term, we're looking towards the next generation of the program, which, not surprisingly, will be known as Smart Pay 3. And we've got to start that work out in advance of, in advance of the contract awards, because we've got a lot of market research to do, meeting with stakeholders and customers to capture their needs, developing the contractual documents, allowing time for competition. And we actually run a multi-level competition, so we'll award master contracts, as you mentioned, we have in place for Smart Pay 2. We have three of them servicing the government right now, and what happens is once we award those master contracts, they're essentially hunting licenses, if you will, for the winners to go pursue particular agency business, and so you have a second round of competition occur under the program. And very often with this program, as opposed to a traditional contract, the agency gets refunds for using the product. For example, over the history of the Smart Pay program since the late 1990s, agencies have earned $2.8 billion in refunds, sort of like you might earn miles on your personal card.
That's a lot of television sets.
Well,
I'm just making an analogy here. Well, let me ask you.
That's a lot of mission support.
That's a better way to put it. Yeah. Let's talk about Chip and PIN. It sounds like a cartoon character, but it's really the new kind of card that I have one that came from one of the providers, but the chip in it, which you can see on the surface of it, doesn't seem to do anything.
Well, you're not seeing any movement, and it's a piece of electronic technology, and it plays the role in the transaction where the card is present. If you're doing a purchase online, it does not play a role, but where you're with a merchant in a store, what the industry calls a card present transaction, the chip, when you're purchasing from a merchant who has a terminal that is chip compatible, the chip will play a role in that transaction, will actually generate a unique code for that specific transaction. When you look at the Magstripe cards that you probably had prior to this.
Since Bank AmeriCard, we've had those.
Right, you remember those days. Well, the technology actually goes back to the 1950s on Magstripe, and the United States is the last large, sophisticated economy to move into the chip and PIN technology. And so what's happened is these external fraudsters have gotten very good at replicating the Magstripe card. The chip technology is going to protect us from that. And, you know, what you've had happen recently is the cost of this external fraud, you know, the scales have tilted to where now the economics make sense because these chip cards are more expensive to deploy those and start to change out the Magstripe cards. Now, there's a lot of moving parts to the transition in the payment industry, and as you know, this is a commercial program. So you not only have to get the cards out there, but the merchants also have to move to replace their terminals to be able to handle this technology. So the cards, when they come out, and if you look at the chip card your bank has issued you, you'll also see the Magstripe in the back. So in case you're dealing with a merchant who hasn't made that conversion and isn't able to handle the chip, there'll also be the Magstripe
sure.
there as a backup.
We're speaking with David Shea. He's director of the Office of Charge Card Management at the Federal Acquisition Service at GSA. TSA. So with the government deploying 1 million chip and PIN cards, maybe that could push things along a little bit to get more infrastructure at the vendor level.
Well, we're certainly hoping to set the example and help drive the industry. We work very closely with the White House on the executive order and are working closely with our contractor banks, U.S. Bank, Citibank, and J.P. Morgan Chase to get these out to our government customers. So, yeah, I think it does have an important value. It signifies something important in the marketplace when the federal government and the largest government charge card program in the world is moving in this direction.
And so looking down toward the next round, SmartPay 3 and so forth, what do you envision? I guess you have an RF. A request for information out right now just to see what's out there. I imagine mobile pay, maybe using phones. Is that part of what you're looking at for the future?
Well, you know, we're casting a broad net because one of the things that the agencies look to us to do in Smart Pay is to have the expertise on the various payment options available. And when you look at sort of the payment landscape, just as a consumer, and all the things that have made the news, you know, Square, Apple Pay, Google Wallet, Pop Money, all kinds of different things coming out in the consumer space, and you have employees coming into the government workforce who are used to working with these types of tools. And so, you know, how do you evolve those to supporting government mission? You know, where's the context? How do they make sense in what the government needs to do around the world? And so this is one of the things that GSA and my office does is we go out and assess the marketplace. We're talking with the agency customers, and we try and be that membrane, if you will, between industry and government and sort out what are the best collection of options that agencies might be interested in, not just today. You know, one of the things we haven't talked about is SmartPay 3. If you look at SmartPay 2 today and SmartPay 1 before it, they've been 10-year contracts. Now, we always have the ability to add new products and services as technologies evolve, but you try and cover as much as you can at the beginning. And so it's an educated guess, in a sense, about where you're heading, and it generally falls into two sets. You know, one is continuing to refine existing products because cards are still going to play a role.
Sure.
And then you look at things like an awful lot of agency business is online. And so what additional things do we need to do there to keep these tools easy to use, strong oversight and internal controls that are transparent, good anti-fraud measures, good data that you're able to get out to understand your spend and things like that. And so you have all that going on at once.
And let me ask you one final question. Does GSA track how many transactions done by federal employees are online when they buy merchandise, you know, office supplies or whatever it might be, versus how many are card present or person present for travel and hotels and meals and that kind of thing?
Right. And just for your listeners, you know, in case they don't know, we offer purchase cards, travel cards, fleet cards, integrated cards, and even cardless payment processes. Last year, we had $26.4 billion in spend across the government, 84.7 million transactions, and agencies earned $272 million in net refunds. So, you know, and I've got to come back to your question again. Would you mind repeating it?
Well, the question was, do you know how many transactions are in person versus online?
Yes, we absolutely do. We're able to tell from the data. And when we looked across the entire program, purchase, travel, 86% of the transactions were online.
All right. Well, good luck with the looking down the future. Maybe someday we'll just blink our eyes and that'll cause the transaction to be safely done. David Shea is the director of the Office of Charge Card Management in the Federal Acquisition Service at GSA. Thanks so much for joining me.
Yep. Thank you.